You may never look your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Memorial Day edition right here, Memorial Day 2016, Doug Hagman flying solo, joining. Thank you so much for asking me into your backyards, into your homes, into your offices, into your diners, yeah, into your squad car. Thank you. Thanks for allowing me to be part of your life. And I just want to say, give a very special thanks to Global Star Radio Network. They are just class act. I'm going to tell you right now for doing everything that they're doing. I just want to say thank you so much for allowing us to have the means in which to get information out. You might not have heard about this, but a former Zurich Insurance CEO, Martin Sen, he reportedly killed himself here within the last couple of days. Switzerland's Zurich Insurance Group. It says that the former chief executive, Martin Sen, who ran the company for 6 years until last December, has killed himself. That particular incident comes 3 years, exactly 3 years, well, 3 years after the company's then chief financial officer also killed himself. Man, right? His family informed the media that Martin Sen took his life last Friday. And the company said they're not going to make any further comments out of respect to Martin Sen and his family. Now, Sen was a Swiss national, 59 years old. He departed the CEO at the end of last year, saying that there have been some setbacks in recent months. But overall, the company was in good shape. If you don't think that these are suspicious, even if this was just a normal suicide, okay. The statistical anomalies associated with the deaths, strange deaths of CFOs, CEOs, key people. Now, this is a big deal. And this should be a flashing red light in your rearview mirror or a flashing red light ahead of you saying, hey, something is horribly wrong. Pay attention. Many other headlines we can get into, but again, I want to get really deep into the root cause. Of really what we're seeing take place. And I got an email here. Let me, that was right before the break. This from Stephen D. Thank you so much. He writes this. Recently read an article from Dave Hodges about Ames recently dealing with Jade Helm 15 and UX training here in America. Read this last week on the commonsenseshow.com, and there's a lot of great information Dave has uncovered, and I have been corresponding with Dave, talking with him about certain things, and we're trying to map out a timeline. And the most probable scenario, the catalytic events that'll take place. It's kind of like looking through a glass darkly. We can see the puzzle pieces, but exactly where they fit and which piece will go down first, you know, we don't really know. We don't have a good handle on it. However, writes Stephen D., he said, after reading and listening to the Common Sense Show, this gentleman, Stephen, went to Crawfordsville, Indiana, to a specific store. During his visit there, he ran across an American Red Cross worker. He started asking him some questions about what they were doing. He confirmed FEMA and the American Red Cross are working together with these drills that we've been talking about. They're looking for other volunteers to help and eventually work for them. Here's what we're getting in totality. They are looking to have these FEMA camps, and you might not know them. Many people wouldn't know them as FEMA camps. In fact, FEMA camps has a negative connotation. Oh my goodness, they're going to, you know, lock us all up. And don't make light of that. I mean, just think about what happened during Katrina with respect to the stadium. Okay, I mean, don't make light of this. Imagine the overlay of a global economic takedown, and people without homes and without jobs and without food, supply disruptions everywhere, not just in one place, but supply disruptions everywhere. This is what we're being prepared for, in my view. This is exactly what we're being prepared for. And now is the time. And let me urge this for Christians. If you're a Christian out there, or if you're just, it doesn't matter. I mean, I would urge everyone to shore up their personal security. Personally, I've talked to my wife. I've talked to my daughter. I've talked to many people I care about and advise them to really shore up your personal security, whether it's at home, or on at your job, or on your way to your job. I know here with me, I've seen some things recently that trouble me a great deal. Now, it doesn't mean that there's been any incidents, but I've seen things that make me scratch my head and say, wait a minute, what's going on here? Something is just very wrong. And maybe you're in the audience. Now, I'm not trying to promote hysteria or paranoia, but I really believe that everyone should take notice of your surroundings. Now's the time to prepare. And it doesn't matter, too. And I got a couple of emails this weekend about the pre-trib, post-trib, rapture thing. Look, that doesn't matter, okay? What matters is if there's a supply disruption, even for a storm or whatever, or if there's a flash mob, or it none of this matters. What matters is you are prepared as best you can be. And none of us are going to be prepared like we should be. None of us. Unless you really have your act together, you've got a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of help. We can only do the best we can and then trust God for the rest. But the way we see things, the way I see things based on my evaluation here, tells me that we're close to an event horizon multiple event horizons that I think will begin with the economic collapse. And don't forget, I had stated before the break, we are being prepared through trauma-based mind control of a problem, that being the economic collapse, the reaction, which is going to be horrendous by those who are not awake, and the solution, which will be this global economic system that we're going to need to fight back against. But so what of this? How does, for example, when I do research and I look at events analytically as an investigator, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, you know, could this be, could we be seeing the end game? And I think we are, of a series of conspiratorial events taking place. And I think they think we are. I want to better understand what's going on. The techniques for psychological manipulation is what we're seeing right now. Whether it be the movies, like the movie I spoke about, Johnny Depp in the News, Alice Through the Looking Glass, just released. We're seeing a psychological manipulation. It's as old as humanity itself. This was done, the psychological manipulation was done in antiquity with feudal lords to preserve and consolidate their power. And they forever used punishment and torture as agents of change. And this is exactly what we're seeing. And this is so important, folks. I really, really ask that you understand this. And once you understand this, things will look a lot clearer to you. Now, there are numerous, in preparation for tonight's broadcast, there are numerous source materials that I've tapped. For example, Brotherhood of Darkness, Stan Monteith, Technocracy Rising, Patrick Wood, Transevolution by Daniel Estulin, Tavistock Institute by Dan Estulin, numerous articles, and numerous other books. But again, even millennia ago, the conscious application as divide and conquer tools aided the ruling classes. That's what happened. That's what we saw, or when we study history, that's what we recognize. That when the feudal lords, when the people in power wanted to consolidate their power and to shore it up, they used punishment and torture as agents of change. And it was not the techniques necessarily, but the conscious application of the divide and conquer tools which aided their efforts and those people behind it. No matter how anti-human or how perverse a particular technique or therapeutic approach might be, it itself, by itself, in and of itself, is not, or it's not counterinsurgency. See, counterinsurgency cannot proceed merely on horrors. It requires conscious and systematic application by the ruling class or its dupes. And this was achieved by fusing psychology and psychiatry back in the 1930s. So what we're seeing today, especially when we talk about trauma-based mind control and how the masses will be convinced to comply, This is the key. We saw, really, in modern times, the first massive application of psychology as a conscious weapon in Nazi Germany, especially when it came to eugenics. And this is important because eugenics, it played upon the most backward of Aryan, you know, the high Aryan illusions held by and imposed on portions of the people. You see, while the cause and development of Nazi butchery stemmed wholly from the world economic collapse back then, you see, it was economic collapse back then, the Weimar Republic. Well, its specific form, eugenics, was devised by the Nazis' favorite people, the psychiatrists. And ever since then, the science of the mind has been converted into the craft of mind destruction. Now, this is really critical to understand, because what's taking place right now is we are being mind controlled. We're being mass controlled, mass mind controlled to accept the changes that are coming. And folks, you might think, oh, I'm strong in prayer. I've got a strong constitution, a will. I can recognize when I'm getting played. But even some of the most, and I dare say this, even some of the most strong people can be duped. Even some of the most prayerful people can be duped. This is why it's so important to understand the techniques and really what's behind what we're seeing today. It's mind control through mind construction or destruction and behavior modification, pseudoscience in the name of aversion therapy, pseudoscience to foster a normalcy bias that is absolutely, well, it's not rational. We should note, and Daniel Estulin points this out, that the conversion of the mind science was shaped by war. The war of mental genocide waged by the powers against the working class. What we're talking about here, that's the essential premise of, well, I talk about this all the time, the Tavistock Institute. The essential premise of the work of Tavistock is the premise that certain kinds of democratic institutions represent far more efficient means for fascist dictatorship than the authoritarian models. You know, from the great oil hoax and the CIA-style brainwashing, the psychological sciences, they followed the same route that was outlined at first initially by, in 1945, by Dr. John Rawlings Reese. He was the grand master of psychological warfare counterinsurgency. And again, you might say, well, what does this have to do with anything? Well, it's got a lot to do with everything, because what we're seeing is mind control on a massive scale. And we're identifying, here it is, I'm identifying the individuals behind it and the playbook that they're using in the shaping of psychiatry by war. John Rawlings Reese called for the development of psychiatric shock troops. Now think about that. Psychiatric shock troops, in order to develop methods of political control based on driving the majority of the human population towards psychosis. How? Through procedures of so-called programmed behavioral modification. He proposed this to render the population submissive under the post-World War II economic world order. You see, when I say there's nothing new under the sun, when I mention that, truly, there's nothing new under the sun. This has been tried, and now it's being refined. This has been done, and now it's being done again. What was done before on a regional, I suppose we could say this on a regional level, is now being done on a global scale. John Rawlings Reese told a group of U.S. Army psychiatrists back in 1945, right after the close of the Second World War, if we propose to come out into the open and attack the social and national problems of our day, we're going to have to have shock troops. And these cannot be provided by psychiatry based wholly in institutions, for example. We're going to have mobile teams of psychiatrists who are free to move about and make contacts with local situations in their particular area. Do you see what's taking place here? You've heard of clergy response teams. Well, what about psychiatrist response teams? Because when the proverbial stuff hits the fan, and it will, and whether it's merely economic in nature, or whether it's economic combined perhaps with a terrorist event or events, or maybe the assassination of political leaders, or maybe a dirty bomb or something, there will be mental trauma, much like 9/11. Now it's going to be refined even more. That logic is pretty clear. When you look at a complete transformation of society along the lines of rational selection, but, you know, I don't know, there's a lot that can be said about all of this, including those people who say, well, only a conspiracy, for example, of psychiatrists could build a society where it's possible for people of every social group to have treatment when they need it, even when they don't want it. You've got to take a look at John Rawlings Reese to understand that he dedicated his life to create this cabal. The Reesean methods rely consciously on the destruction of the mental life of world society in a really a baton death march into a world of universal sadism. And within this lies their affinity, men as mindless beasts whose minds, according to Tavistock now, are something to be manipulated and destroyed. So, we've talked about this before, and again, in the context of what is coming on the event horizon, in order not to get caught up in this, but to identify those who already are, and among that group, not only those who already are, but as Russ Dizdar talks about, those who are programmed already and who walk among us, they're there. We better be able to identify them and understand what's going on, because if we don't, we could ourselves become a casualty, a statistic, even though we think, hey, we're prayed up, we're prepped up, we're ready to rock. Something does happen, I'm all right. I'm you know, as best I can be. Well, perhaps tonight some insight might give you some ammunition to fight against the psychological warfare that was developed at Tavistock, and the central features of activities of a worldwide set of interlocking think tanks that we see that is Tavistock. The psychological warfare that we're being captive to. And we see this. See, I believe that Obama is the subject of mind control. I believe that many of our leaders are the subjects of mind control. I'm not talking about the people who actually perform mind control, although some do in their roles as captives, but they're captives themselves. And that's perhaps that's why the pushback of with Donald Trump, because he may not be in that category yet, either as a captive or as a handler. Yet people who have spent any time inside the Beltway, at Foggy Bottom, or inside the bowels of Congress, or the damp and dank parts of the Pentagon, know that mind control exists. And if you're about ready to turn this off because, oh, this is just too far out for me, think again. Open your mind up a little bit more. Because we see it. You can see it. You can see it. We talk about psychological warfare. This is what we're talking about. It's ways that we are being made to be afraid. And in order to be afraid, whether it be of a terrorist attack or the Zika virus or some flesh-eating virus from Syria or who knows? War. They've got to know our psyche, what makes us react. Tavistock and the companies associated with Tavistock and the people, they needed to understand how we will react under stress. Are we going to fight harder? Are we going to just roll over and say, okay, I'm done? Are we going to begin making errors in judgment? Playing right into the hands of the enemy? Or what's going to happen? See, many of the worst mistakes of psychological warfare operations are always those made in the ignorance of an enemy's mindset. Think about that for a second. Because really, and as Dan Estelin points out in Tavistock Institute, his book, that would imply a very deep knowledge of the human psychology by John Rees' shock troops. It's kind of a, I don't know, black art, if you will. And since what we are experiencing right now, as I've said this before, perception is reality. Since we're experiencing right now a war of perceptions, a war of world views, it's critically important that the psychologists and the psychiatrists and the sociologists and the social workers, the people who work for Tavistock, that they understand the impact of art, music, literature, movies, films, literature, what we read, what we see, and really the gambit of cultural modes of expression. We had Peter Lavenda on not too long ago. And he wrote, he's the author of Sinister Forces. If you have his books, specifically the trilogy that comprised Sinister Forces, he wrote this. He said, eventually the temptation will arise to test some of these principles on the domestic population. what Peter Lavenda was saying was, you take a group like the Tavistock Institute and you test certain mind control techniques on the population. After all, with whose mindset are we the most familiar with but our own? What better place really to test new theories of psychological warfare than among the native population? And this is really what I really want to make sure everyone understands. You know, we had talked about Jade Helm. Remember that? Dave Hodges talked about it. Others talked about it. What was Jade Helm? It was harvesting the mind, in a way. And there will be people out there, and some credible to others, who believe themselves, if they're not mind numb themselves, who will say, see, nothing happened with Jade Helm. Dave Hodges, Hagman, Jones, all these people, they're just nuts. They're conspiracy nuts. But wait a minute. Man, look. That doesn't even scratch the surface. Because to say that, to me, reflects, and I don't mean to be mean, but it reflects this, and a level of idiocy that's staggering. To have someone say, well, see, Jade Helm is a big nothing. All you people out there were just getting people scared and frightened for nothing. Well, first of all, it wasn't to cause fear for anyone. But see, here's the thing. Mapping the human domain, the mental aspect of this, of Jade Helm, as one example of many, in and of itself, was an operation. And when we look at the where we're at today, going back to John Rawlings Rees, he said back in 1945, and don't forget he was the father of the Tavistock Institute, talking about mental conditioning. He wrote back and said back in 1945 that wars are not won by killing one's opponents, but by undermining or destroying their morale while maintaining their own. Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Kurt Lewin? Lewin was the head of a group of control groups, people, whatever. He was one of Reed's first recruits who began his career at Cornell, where he worked on a systematic series of studies of the effect of social pressure on the eating habits of kids. He came to the United States back in 1933. He was a refugee of Nazi Germany. Now, like many other German intellectuals, he was forced out of Germany not because of his political differences, but as a sacrifice to Hitler's divide-and-conquer anti-Semitism. You see, Lewin, in fact, is noted for his refinement of the Nazi-formulated leaderless group technique into this very sophisticated tool of counterinsurgency. Lewin, his work is related to psychological warfare programs. When showing proper relations between or the relationships between the psychological warfare and target setting and field operations and reconnaissance, his first overt assignment was to utilize group decision making in changing food preferences away from meat toward whole wheat bread as substitutes. And once more, you might think, what is this? You know, what? What are you talking about? And why are you talking about this? Well, when you look at these various components of psychological warfare, you can look about you today, look at the news and look at the movies and look at the print and look at the internet and look at everyone that is giving you this information of any kind. And you can see this taking place right before your very eyes. We are being conditioned and prepped through a series of trauma events like 9/11, like Afghanistan and Iraq and all of these in the economy. It's not to say these aren't happening or didn't happen, but these are being used to formulate, shape, and to manipulate your mind to cause behavior modification, which will make you more pliable, a more pliable subject in the hands of those people who want to take your stuff, your life, your soul, your kids, literally. One of the main ways for breaking morale through a strategy of terror, and this was what we've seen over the years, it consists in exactly this tactic. You keep the person hazy as to where he stands and just what he might expect, and then if in addition frequent vacillations between severe you know what I'm talking about, those measures and promises of reward for good treatment, together with a spreading of contradictory news, well, that all makes the cognitive structure unclear. You know what I'm saying? It's like this. If you switch between discipline measures and promises of good treatment amidst a sea of contradictory news, you push a person toward one or the other, this creates this mental fog. And under those conditions, even those of us who believe we are awake and understand what's going on, well, and we've got goals and we're ready to saddle for battle, we will be suffering from the paralysis of analysis. We're going to be paralyzed through severe inner conflicts with respect to what to do. We see this take place, haven't we? About what the Christian response should be. If someone kicks your door down or someone threatens your family, this is tipple. And you know something, folks? I don't drink, and I have not had a drink today. Okay. Tipple. Typical Tavistockian tactics. It's a common psychopathological feature of all fascist demand is becoming like an infant who defines himself by his attempts to impose the principle of the autonomous extended family to block out the reality of the outer world. In other words, nationalism, racialism, language groups, cultural affinity groups, community and such. And I'm referring back to Lewin, Kurt Lewin. He was the first to realize through surveillance or observation of his groups that the imposition of fascist-like forms of small group organization. Structural reforms could induce a fascist ideology in a subject population. Are we not seeing this form today? You know, in a sane and moral society, they throw Lewin into a loony bin. But instead, he was given money, he was funded, he was given U.S. citizenship, he was given a grant from the Rockefeller Foundation and the Rockefellers to craft social engineering projects. He proposed that through the use of small group self-brainwashing techniques, a more efficient form of fascist dictatorship could be established. The ratio invisibility of a horde of jackbooted enforcers, characteristics of, we'll say, the Nazi SS or some sort of fascist jackbooted thugs, could be reduced by creating fascist forms of small self-administrating community groups. What we're being trained for today is just that. In other words, if you take a look at the individual's world, if it's converted into a controlled environment which conforms to such fascist structural reforms, the victim, the normal person out there, their mind will discover that only its potential paranoid self provides it with the means for agreement with the controversial environment. What I'm saying is fascism is the world desired in the paranoid dreams of the id. Basically, they, I guess to kind of sum this up, they, meaning the people of Tavistock, the mind controllers, the Nazis, produce the playbook, at least in modern times. The playbook was produced at the Tower of Babel and before in the Genesis 6, I suppose. In fact, more appropriately then. And it's being refined today. Because what is taking place here, what they're looking at, what we're seeing is this. Rees and Tavistock had put together their playbook. The establishment of a fascist political order. It's a Tavistockian model I often reference. And as Daniel Estulin in his fine work points out, the playbook contains a series of steps. And compare this to what's taking place today. You break down the existing democratic or constitutional institutions. The military and police forces would be reorganized for civil action as they are right now, today, in the United States. One of the lesser-known actions being readied by the government revolves around the replacement of ordinary state and local police forces by a national counterinsurgency police force modeled on Hitler's Gestapo. And such as the Royal Canadian Mounted Police is in Canada. Didn't know that, did you? At the same time, existing mass institutions would be destroyed by spontaneously organized insurgency. Local community control groups would be used to destroy the broad-based political institutions, and among these recruits to fascist community control gangs and counter-gangs of terrorists would propagate crime and mutual terroristic confrontations. Both sides under the control and direction of behind-the-scene intelligence operatives. Exactly what we're seeing today. It's a programmed insurgency of gangs and counter-gangs mixed with pinches and doses of police-controlled terrorist gangs, and create the political conditions in which the majority of the population more readily tolerate or even demand various degrees of military police government. And lo and behold, there is your fascist democratic regime. It's real simple. Problem, reaction, solution. The Hegelian dialectic, of course, that we speak of. The Tavistockian model of mind control, birthed in modern times from the Nazi experimentation and molded into the Tavistock Institute. And now we're seeing this take place right now in terms of the nationalization of our police forces, and we are watching a fascist regime develop. And you know, one of the things I want to mention too, most people say fascist, right wing. See, we're so inclined to believe that fascism is all right wing. No, it's not. I mean, by definition, if you look up fascism, you understand, of course, what fascism is. It's the improper melding of corporatism and government. But does that not transcend partisan lines and ideological lines? Absolutely. The second part of this is you eliminate through subversion, through assassination, through military intervention, through embargoes or popular and spontaneous uprisings, the regime that has outlived its usefulness. And then you appoint democratic civilian government. The appointed democratic government can now function only within the limits defined for it by representatives of the supranational agencies. This is really the Rees Lewin Tavistockian model, and this is what we're seeing today. This goes deeper than any rabbit hole maybe that you've been experienced or that you've had experience with. And I'm not, and perhaps you're listening to this and saying, oh yeah, I read that. Or I've heard that, I'm familiar with this. But once you understand the foundation here, you're less likely to be sucked in. And if you're a Christian who is paralyzed through, well, I call it paralysis of analysis, do I defend my family? Do I go willingly to the FEMA camp? Do I surrender my sovereignty? You've got the answer. And even more pertinent, perhaps, now you know why you're asking the question. Because you've been programmed to ask that question. No and hell no should be the answer. Because simply put, as a Christian, as a male, or even a female, to male, the head of household. But if you happen to be a female alone, and this is you too, okay? No, it's your duty, it's your job, it's biblical to protect your loved ones. There is no sin in that. Only when the Tavistockian model, and especially when that model is combined with trauma-based events, do you question stuff like that. And if you're really twisted, either complicit or severely like Patricia Hearst, perhaps. I don't know. I can just think, I can imagine how many people say, oh, Patricia who? From where? Anyway, I guess you have to be a little old, older to understand or to remember that. But unless you're complicit or totally gone, will you, I mean, you'll understand. You will understand. Or, again, complicit, totally gone, then you're going to be writing, saying, and reporting in a manner that will, shall we say, make you more compliant when the time comes. When that economic disaster that we're expecting here in the short term, well, Tavistock, Reese, others, the playbook of the Genesis, six giants, the watchers, if you will, the spirit of the Antichrist, has subjugated you. You want to know how far, how deep this rabbit hole goes? I just scratched the surface, barely. The mind control. The people who walk among us right now. Don't forget back in the 70s, a cult movie, They Live. Remember that? It opened up. It was John Carpenter. Paul McGuire talks about this a lot. He wrote about it in his book, Prophecy of the Future of America. And don't forget, he's coming out with Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017. I can't wait for that. But you see, in They Live, it was just the, without giving away too much, is sunglasses gave an individual the ability to see the reptilians or the monsters who walk among us. Let this information be your sunglasses. Because once you know the tactics, you can identify the perpetrators in many cases. And once you identify the perpetrators and the tactics, that gives you the edge up on fighting and surviving, and not just surviving, but even thriving in the times in which we will find ourselves in the short term. I hope this is making sense to you. Because there are people walking around today. There are people who are sitting in the pews of your church. There are people who are sitting in the schools across America, in the county and city council rooms, who are actors, perpetrators, part victims, if you will, and handlers of mind control from the Nazi era. We're looking at third and fourth generation individuals who will at a given time, and maybe it will be when the economy collapses. Maybe it will be when something happens to a nominee or a government official or someone popular, that the go signal will be given. You look around, you see a lot of go signals, don't we? I do believe, with a nod to the broadcasting of Gary Bell from Toronto, I do believe that the story about Johnny Depp is relevant here. Alice Through the Looking Glass. Let's look a little deeper on the other side. You're listening to a Memorial Day edition. Doug Hagman flying solo. I want to thank everyone for joining us, including me. Thanks for inviting me into your party. I'll be right back. for the final hour.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.